Osho, Vigyan Bhairav Tantra, Volume 2, The Book of the Secrets, A New Commentary, Discourse Number 2, given in Bombay, India.
The first question: is it not true that an immoral life creates hindrances in meditation? What is meditation? It is not your character. It is not what you do. It is what you are. It is not the character, it is the consciousness that you bring to whatsoever you do. The doing is irrelevant, whether you are doing it consciously or not, is the question. Moral or immoral? But are you alert? If you are alert, meditation happens. If you are not alert, you live in a sleep. You can be moral while fully asleep. There is no problem. Rather, it is better to be moral if you want to be fully asleep, because then society will not disturb you. Then no one will be against you. You can conveniently sleep. The society will help you. You can be moral without being meditative. But the immorality will be always just behind you. Just like a shadow, it will follow. And your morality will be just skin deep. Because your morality can only be imposed from without when you are asleep. It can only be pseudo, false, effaced. It cannot become your being. You will become moral outwardly. Inwardly you will remain immoral. And the more moral you become outwardly, the more immoral you will be within, in the same proportion. Because your morality is bound to be nothing but a deep suppression. You cannot do anything else while asleep. You can only suppress. And through this morality, you will also become false. You will not be a person, but simply a persona. Just a pseudo-entirety. Misery will follow. And you will be constantly on the verge of explosion. Explosion of all that you have suppressed. It is there, waiting for you. And if you are really honest to be moral while asleep, you will go mad. Only dishonest persons can remain moral without being mad. And that is what hypocrisy means. They just show they are moral, but they are not. And they find ways and means to be immoral. Constantly remaining on the surface moral, or pretending to be moral. Only then you can remain sane, otherwise you will go insane. This so-called morality leaves only two alternatives. If honest, you will become insane. If dishonest, you will become a hypocrite. So those who are clever, cunning, they are hypocrites. Those who are simple, innocent, and become a victim of such teachings go mad. While asleep, real morality cannot happen to you. And what do I mean by real morality? Something which is a spontaneous flowering out of your being, not imposed from without. And real morality is not in opposition of immorality. A real morality is just absence of immorality, not in opposition. For example, you can be taught that love your neighbors, love everyone, be loving. It can become a moral attitude, but the hate remains within. You force yourself to be loving, and a forced love cannot be real, cannot be authentic. It is not going to fulfill either you or the other person you love. No one is to be fulfilled by this false love. It's just like false water. No one's thirst is to be quenched by it. And the hatred is there. And the hatred is trying to assert. And a false love cannot be a real hindrance to it. Rather, the hatred will penetrate the false love and will poison even it. And your loving will become just a sort of hatred. Very tricky and cunning. But a real morality happens to a person who has gone deep within himself. And the deeper you move, the more loving you become. It is not something posed against hatred. It is not something antagonistic to hatred. The deeper you move, the more love flows out of you. It has nothing to do with hatred at all. It is not concerned with hatred at all. And the moment you reach to your center, you are loving without any moral imposition. You may not even be aware that you are loving. Really, how you can be aware? This love will just be so natural, just like breathing, just like your shadow following you. You will be simply loving. Tantra teaches the inner journey. Morality will happen, but that will be a consequence, not a prerequisite. Be clear about this distinction. Tantra says, don't be entangled between moral and immoral concepts. They are outer. Rather, move within. And so the techniques are there how to move within. And don't be concerned with moral and immoral, pure and impure. Don't be concerned with distinctions. Just move within. Forget the outer. The outer world, the society, and whatsoever the society has taught you. All that society teaches is bound to be dualistic. It is bound to be suppressive. It is bound to create a conflict within you. And if the conflict is there, you cannot move within. So forget the conflict and forget all that creates conflict. Simply move within. The more deeper you go, the more moral you will become. But that morality will not be the morality of the society. You will be moral without being moral, without being conscious that you are moral, because there is nothing opposed to it within you. You are simply loving because you feel blissful when you are loving. It is a bliss in itself. There is no end to it. No result is needed. Not that you will get into the kingdom of God if you love. It is not a bargain. The morality that society preaches and so-called religions preach is a bargain. Do this and you will get that. If you don't do this, you will not get that. Even you will be punished. It is a bargain. Tantra morality is not a bargain. It is a happening. The deeper you move, you start living in the moment. You feel to love is bliss. It is not a step, a condition, a bargain towards something else. It is enough unto itself. You love because you feel blissful in loving. You are not doing anything for the neighbor. You are not obliging anyone else. It is a pleasure to be loving. It is good for you, right here and now. No future, heaven or hell. Just now it creates the heaven and the kingdom of God enters you. And this happens to all the virtues. They flower spontaneously. Now look at the question. Is it not true that an immoral life creates hindrance in meditation? Really, the contrary is the truth. A meditative life creates hindrances in immoral life. Immoral life cannot create any hindrances. Immoral life means that you are non-meditative, nothing else. You are fast asleep. That's why you are doing harm to yourself. For Tantra, the basic thing is meditation, alertness, awareness. Nothing else is more basic than that. When someone is immoral, it shows that he is not alert. It is just a symptom. The immoral life is just a symptom that he is not alert. What ordinary teaching is doing? Ordinary teachers will tell to this asleep man who is immoral to be moral. He may change from immorality to morality, but the sleep continues. So the whole effort is wasted. Because the real disease was not immorality. Immorality was just a symptom. The disease was non-alertness, non-meditativeness. That's why he was immoral. Now you can convert him towards morality. You can create fear. And you can make afraid only that person who is asleep. Otherwise you cannot create fear. You can create fear through hell, and you can create profit motive through heaven. These both things are possible only while you are asleep. If you are not asleep, You cannot be threatened, and you cannot be motivated because of profit. Those two things are meaningful only to the mind who is asleep. So create the fear of punishment, and he will move from immorality to morality. But he moves because of fear. Create profit motive, then he can move from immorality to morality. But he moves because of lust, greed, profit. Greed and fear are part of the asleep mind. He remains asleep. Nothing basic is changed. He is good for the society, that's okay. For the society, the immoral person is a problem. The moral person is not a problem. So society has solved its problem, but the man remains asleep. For himself, nothing is solved. He is now more convenient to the society. Previously he was inconvenient. But try to observe the fact. An immoral person is inconvenient to the society, but he is convenient to himself. A moral person becomes convenient to the society, but becomes inconvenient to himself. So only the coin is put upside down. That's why immoral persons look more happy and gay, and moral persons serious, sad, burdened. The immoral person is fighting with the society, and the moral person is fighting with himself. The immoral person feels only because there is always fear of being caught. He is afraid of being caught, but he is enjoying. If no one catches him, if there is no fear of being caught, he is okay. The moral person is caught in a struggle with himself. Nothing is okay with him. He is only okay with the society. Morality is a lubricant. It helps you to move easily with others, but then you become uneasy with yourself. Uneasiness remains either with the society or with yourself. Only when you become awakened, uneasiness leaves you. Tantra is concerned with the basic disease, not with the symptoms. Morality is removing symptoms. So Tantra says, don't be concerned with moral or immoral concepts. It doesn't mean that Tantra says become immoral. How can Tantra say to you to become immoral when Tantra even cannot say to you to become moral? Tantra says the whole thing is irrelevant. Don't talk about morality and immorality. Come to the root. You can be moral or immoral, but that is only the symptom. Come to the root. The root is you are asleep, fast asleep. How to break this sleeping pattern? How to be aware? And how not to fall again and again into his sleep. That's what Tantra is concerned with. And once you become alert, your character will change. But that's a consequence. And Tantra says you need not worry about it. That's a consequence. Inevitably it happens. So you need not worry about it. You are not to bring it. It will happen. You simply become more and more alert, you will be less and less immoral. But this morality that will happen to you is not forced. It is not something done by you on your part. You were just trying to be alert and it happens. How can an alert man be violent? How can an alert man be filled with hatred and anger? It may look paradoxical, but it is so. One who is asleep, how he can be without hatred? Impossible. He can only pretend that there is no anger, no hatred. He can only pretend that there is love, compassion, kindness, sympathy. Those are all pretensions. Quite the contrary happens to the one who has awakened. If anger is needed, he can only pretend. He cannot be angry. He can only pretend. If anger is needed, and sometimes it is needed, he can only pretend. He cannot be sad, but if it is needed, he can pretend that he is sad. Now, these are impossible. Love is natural now, as hatred was before. Love was a pretension before. Now, hatred can only be a pretension, if needed. Jesus fighting with the money changers in the great temple was pretending. He cannot be angry. But he has chosen to pretend. He cannot be really angry. He can use anger, but he cannot be angry. As you use love and you cannot be loving. You use love for certain purposes. Your love is just to get something else. It is never simply love. You may be trying to get money, you may be trying to get sex, you may be trying to get something. Ego fulfillment, a victory, a feeling that you are very powerful. You may be trying to get anything else, but it is never love. A Buddha can be angry if he thinks it is going to help. Because of his love, he may be sometimes angry. But that's only a pretension. And only fools are befooled by it. Those who know, they will simply laugh. As meditation deepens, Tantra says, you start changing. And this is beautiful. When change happens to you, if you do it, it can never be something very deep, because doing is just on the surface. So Tantra says, allow it to happen from the being, from the very center. Let it flow from the center towards the periphery. Don't force it from the periphery towards the center. That is impossible. So Tantra will not say whether moral or immoral. The only thing is, if you are asleep, try to change it. Allow yourself to become more and more alert. Wherever you are, if you are immoral, Tantra says, okay. We are not concerned with your immorality. We are concerned with your sleep and how to transform it into alertness. Don't fight with the immorality. Just try to transform your sleep. If you are moral, okay. Tantra is not going to tell you to become first immoral and then try. Neither the immoral has any need to transform himself in a moral person, nor the moral person to transform himself into immoral, to get into meditation. All that they need is how to change their quality of consciousness. So wherever you are, a sinner or a saint, for Tantra there is no distinction. If you are asleep, then try the techniques towards alertness. And don't try to change symptoms. The sinner is ill, and the so-called saint is also ill, because both are asleep. The illness is sleep, not your character. Your character is just a byproduct. And remaining asleep, whatsoever you do, will not make any basic change. Only one thing can change, can create a mutation, and that is alertness. How to become more and more alert. So whatsoever you do, make it an object of alertness. If you do some immoral act, do it meditatively. It will not be long when the act will dissolve by itself, disappear, and you will not be able to do it. Not because you have created an armor against it, but because now you are more alert. And how can you do a thing which needs sleep as a requisite? You cannot do it. Understand well this basic distinction between Tantra and so-called other teachings. Tantra is more scientific, goes to the very root of the problem, transforms you from the very being, not from your outer seat of character, morality, immorality, of acts and doings. Whatsoever you do is just on the periphery. Whatsoever you are is never on the periphery. The quality of the act, not the act itself, is meaningful for Tantra. For example, one butcher came to Nan Inn. He was a butcher, and Nan Inn was a Buddhist monk believing in non-violence, and his whole profession was violence. The whole day he was killing animals. But when the butcher came to Nan Inn and asked him that what he is to do, because his profession is violence, so am I to leave my profession first and then only I can be a new man, or is there some way? So Nan Inn said, we are not concerned with what you do. We are concerned with what you are. So go on doing whatsoever you are doing, but be more alert. While killing, remain alert, meditative, and go on doing whatsoever you are doing. We are not concerned. Nan Inn's followers became disturbed, because a person, a follower of Buddha, believing in non-violence, allowing a butcher to continue Some disciple said, this is not good. And we never expected that a person like you will allow a butcher to remain a butcher. And when he was asking, you should have told, drop this. He was himself ready. Nanin is reported to have said that you can change the butcher's profession easily. He was himself ready. But you cannot change by that way his quality of consciousness. He will remain a butcher. He may become a saint, but the quality of the mind will remain that of a butcher. That will be a deception for others and for himself also. Go and look to your so-called saints. Many of them remain butchers. The quality, the attitude, the violence, their very look towards you is condemning, violent. You are a sinner and they are saints. The very look when they see you, you are condemned. You are thrown into the hell. Nanin said, so it is not good to change his outer life. It is better to bring a new quality of his mind. And it is good to let him remain a butcher, because he is disturbed by his butchery and violence. If he becomes a saint, he will remain a butcher, but then he will not be disturbed. His ego will be strengthened. So this is good. He is disturbed that violence is there. And he has become at least this much aware that this is not good. He is ready to change, but just readiness to change will not help. A new quality of mind has to be developed. Let him meditate. After 1 year passed, the man came. He has become a different man. He was still a killer. But the man has changed. The doing has remained the same. He came to Nanin again. He said, now, I am a different man. I meditated and meditated and meditated. And my whole life has become a meditation because you told me to meditate in whatsoever I am doing. I am butchering animals. The whole day I am meditating. Now what do you tell me to do? So Nanin said, now don't come to me. Now allow your awareness to make a path for you. You need not come to me. So the butcher said, now only if you say to remain in the profession, I will pretend to be there. But as far as I am concerned, I am no more there. So if you allow me, I am not going back. But if you say, then it's okay. I will go and pretend and continue. This is how, when your quality changes, quality of consciousness, you become a different person altogether. And Tantra is concerned with you, not what you do. Second question, if one follows certain laws of life and calls it moral, then is there any objection from a tantric? Tantra has no objections. But this, having no objections, is the problem. Tantra has no objections whatsoever. Tantra is not in any way condemning. It is not concerned to tell you, do this, don't do that. If you feel good, if you feel happy following certain principles, follow them. But following certain principles can never lead you to happiness. Because you are not going to change through principles and through following them. You will remain the same. Principles are always borrowed. Ideas are always borrowed. Someone else has given them to you. They are not your own. They have not grown out of your own experience. They are without roots. Just the society, the religion you are born to, the teachers you happen to be near, they have given them to you. You can follow them and you can force yourself accordingly, but then you will be a dead person, not alive. You may create a certain peace around yourself, but that will be the peace of the cemetery. Dead. You may be less vulnerable to disturbances, more closed in because of the principles, but then you will become less sensitive and less alive. So so-called principled men are always dead. Look at them. They look silent, still, peaceful, at ease. But a certain deadness is always around them. The odor of death is always there. You cannot feel the feast of life around them. The festivity of being alive, the celebration of being alive, you can never feel around them. They have created an armor around them, a safety armor. Nothing can penetrate them. The walls of their principles and characters stop everything. But then they are behind the walls, imprisoned. And they are their own prisoners. If you choose, Tantra has no objection. You are free to choose a life which is not a life at all. Once Mullah Nasruddin visited a cemetery and he saw a very beautiful marble mausoleum, incised on it the name Rothschild. So Mullah is reported to have said, this is what I call life. This is what I call living. A beautiful marble mausoleum. But howsoever beautiful, it is not life. Marbles, beautiful, rich, but not life. You can create a mausoleum out of your life through principles, ideals, impositions, but then you will be dead. Of course, less vulnerable, because death is not vulnerable. Death is a security. Life is always insecure. Anything can happen to a live person. Nothing can happen to a dead person. He is secure. There is no future. No possibility. No change. The last thing has happened to him, death. Now nothing can happen. Principled personalities are dead personalities. Tantra is not interested in them. Tantra has no objection. If you feel good being dead, it is your choice. You can commit suicide. And this is a suicide. But Tantra is for those who want to be more alive. And the truth and the ultimate is not death, it is life. Remember that. The ultimate is not death, it is life, more life. Jesus has said abundant life, infinite life. So by being dead you can never reach to the ultimate. If it is a life, an abundant life, by being dead you will never be in contact with it. Just by being more alive, more vulnerable, more sensitive, less principled and more alert. Why you seek principles? You may not have observed. Why you seek principles? Because with principles you need not be alert. You need not be alert. You live through a principle, you need not be alert. I make a principle of non-violence, so I stick to it. I make it a principle of being true, so I stick to it. It becomes a habit. I create a habit of being true, always speaking the truth. It becomes a mechanical habit. Now there is no need to be alert. I cannot speak lies, because a principle, a habit, will create a barrier always. The society depends on principles, inculcating, educating principles to the children. So they become incapable, really. If a person becomes incapable, he is dead. Your truth can be alive only if it is through alertness, not through principle. Each moment you have to be alert to be true. Truth is not a principle. It is something born out of your alertness. Non-violence is not a principle. If you are alert, you cannot be violent. But that is difficult and arduous. You will have to transform yourself totally. It is easy to create a life according to principles, rules, regulations. Then you need not worry. You need not worry about being more alert, aware. You can follow the principles. You are just like a railway train running on the tracks. Those tracks are your principles. You are not afraid. You cannot miss the path. Really, you don't have any path. You have just mechanical rails on which your train is running. You will reach the destination. You need not be afraid. You can be asleep. The train will reach.